Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love massive dumps. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from Will This Nightmare Ever End? With another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, November 29th, 2020. And my guests today are Abby Crutchfield, Julianne Smolinski, and Jonah Ray. Yay!
Hooray!
Let's meet them individually, starting with our first-time guest, two first-time guests on the show, but let's do them in alphabetical order, starting with New York comedy phenom. You know her as Curly Comedy on Twitter. It's Abby Crutchfield. Hello.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. I've been enjoying your tweets for a while. And then, you know.
Thank you. I've enjoyed your work as well.
I did the DM slide to see if you'd be interested in participating in this. And I'm very happy to hear that you were.
No pictures, just text. Imagine my disappointment. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sorry about that. also joining us today for another first-timer, writer on many TV shows, including Grace and Frankie and Blue Monday.
Woohoo!
Blue Monday. It's a sad show to me. No, yeah. Black Monday. And I mean, you had me at your Twitter handle because she's Boobs Radley on Twitter.
Which, okay.
It doesn't get any better than that. It's Julianne Smolinski, everybody.
Hey, how's it going? Hi, guys.
Hey. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was the best DM slide I've ever gotten.
Well, this next dude is no stranger to my DMs. Because we've been DMing each other for I don't know how many years now, and he's got a new podcast that's part of the Misfit Toys Collective, and he's going to tell us all about it. It's Jonah Ray. Hey, Jonah.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. What's this? What's your new podcast called?
It's called Let Me Watch Your Movie With You. I wanted to come up with a really clunky name. Because that stuff makes me laugh, but it's an interview podcast that's also a commentary track. So over Zoom, I'll watch a film from either like the director or an actor in it or a writer, But we watch it, the movie together, and I ask some questions about the movie. So if you wanted to, you could sync up the podcast while watching the movie. So it's like a commentary track, which I miss quite a bit because I don't really get DVDs anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a selfish endeavor because, you know, I want to make more movies and films and I want to learn about it, but I don't want to pay for a masterclass subscription. So I figured this is a good way of doing it. But we've had like some great people. We had Alex Winter, who, you know, plays Bill S. Preston Esquire. We watched Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Mick Garris, we watched his first film, Critters 2. And we got like Felicia Day coming up on a movie we did together called Pooka Lives. So it's been a lot of fun. And it's also been really informative.
That sounds cool. Great. And it sounds to me, too, that especially if someone's, you know, even remotely familiar with any title that you're talking about, they could just listen. They don't necessarily have to throw the movie on.
Yeah, you don't have to. You could listen to it. I know some people have been listening to it without watching the movie just because, you know, we try to, even if like we're talking about something like specific in the movie, we're describing it. And it's not that you're going to be totally out of the loop. It's not. You know, like you're going to hear some silence, and then someone going that's got to hurt, you know, or something like that. It's just kind of a jumping off point for, you know, stories and stuff like that. And you get to hear a lot of cool like production stuff and stories around the film.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. And, I was just going to say if I had more time, but that's kind of, you can't really say that these days.
You could just say you won't get around to it. I don't want to.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that's what people need right now is a you know, 90-minute plus podcast to listen to. But also, I want to have you on, Doug. I want to watch one of the movies you were, I want to watch, what was it? You were in Nightmare on Elm Street 2, 1?
I was in the... you know, the classic Nightmare on Elm Street, the misunderstood Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy's Revenge, which was part two.
Yes, ooh, that's great. There's a great documentary on that one on Shudder called Scream Queen about the actor, the lead actor in that. But we should have you on and we could talk about your, because you're in the movie.
It's true, I am, but it's just my, like my wrists. I was the I was a stand-in on the movie, so like the scene where the gym coach gets attacked after hours by all of his gym equipment. whenever there's close-ups of his, like there's a close-up of his hand trying to close a lock on.
I can see it now. I just looked it up. That's so funny. I'm looking at your wrist.
Yeah, that's whenever there's close-ups, it's not the guy, it's me. And I was a good 30 years younger than him when the scenes were shot and nobody cared.
I think you just did the episode.
Yeah, there. I'll just pop that on.
That might be it.
I'm just going to loop that. I'm going to loop Doug saying that for 90 minutes over the movie.
This is the strangest version of his podcast.
Yeah, you don't have to put a movie on to watch or to listen to Doug Loves Movies, but, you know, might be a fun way to multitask, put on any movie that we might talk about. I've been doing the box office report every week because I find it very interesting how, you know, they're still making box office reports, even though it's mostly drive-ins and socially distanced movie theaters in weird parts of the country where they think things should be open. Mm-hmm. And, all I'll say is that the new Croods movie is really taking advantage of the marketplace because children are clearly making their parents take them to the drive-in to see the Croods. It's the number one movie. It's made $9.7 million this weekend. And in second place is Freaky, making less than $1 million. Mm. So if you've got an animated film ready to go, I think this is the time to unleash it.
That was one of those things. I thought there was already a Croods 2. So that's how much impact these movies are having on my life.
I see ads for it when I play Words with Friends, but I'm not familiar with the Crood, I don't know, what do you call it, anthology.
Well, there are a bunch of
the Croodiverse.
It's cave people, I think. It's kind of a Flintstones riff. But
I see.
The ads for this Croods 2 make it look like it's all about some sloths. and that the Croods themselves are taking a back seat to these damn sloths.
Which, is it a crossover movie with like the Croods meet the sloth, John Leguizamo from Ice Age?
From Ice Age. Yeah. It doesn't look like it. No, I'm okay. Looking at pictures. This is a much cuter looking sloth than the one
he
plays.
Is a sloth in the Ice Age movies?
These are kind of, they're sort of sexier sloths in this one. He's like a, he's kind of like an ugly sloth. And I don't know how to describe it in any other way that these are better looking sloths than.
Just describe it slowly, please.
You already, you hooked him in.
Sloth curves.
Sloth from Ice Age. I don't know if he's a sloth. He never looked like, he always looked like a ferret to me. Sid. Yeah, I guess he's a sloth.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't, John Leguizamo doesn't talk and move slow. He's real spazzy.
That's, I think so that was true. The joke. I think that was the thing.
Oh, it's a hyperactive sloth. That's fun. Yeah. I got to revisit those Ice Age movies. I wrote them off.
They were the Croods of our time.
Yeah. He looks like a hammerhead shark compared to these crude sloths. My goodness. They've come a long way in sloth technology.
They really, sloths can be a lot of, have a lot of different looks, I guess. So that's the box office report. Now let's talk about, I've been asking people to recommend movies that are, you know, comforting or distracting or, you know, whatever it is you're looking for in a movie lately. Can anybody recommend something for my listeners to check out?
I gotta say, a weird comfort movie for me has been Zodiac.
Wow.
And that's not like a joke or anything. It's like, it's got very predictable rhythms. It's a different time, so you don't feel like you're weirded out by everybody not wearing masks, because you can tell, you know, it's supposed to be the 70s. Kind of anything period where you're not like shaken by the fact that people are going to restaurants or anything, because you know that it's not the now time.
But even period pieces shot today, I'm like, I hope they had good PPE on set. You know, you're like thinking real hard about it.
Yeah,
I get that though, because it does have like it doesn't get too loud. Nice.
It's even when someone's being no spoilers, you know, about a serial killer, even when there's a person being stabbed to death, it's still a pretty kind of low key movie. But it's got like a good, it's got like a kind of good build to it. It's got a concrete beginning, middle, and end. You know, it's not going to stress you out.
I think it's relaxing to watch Jake Gyllenhaal try to figure out a puzzle.
Yes, exactly. It's literally watching somebody like doing word games for 2.5 hours.
It's the ASMR of movies.
Yeah.
And then it's got some cool like kind of psychedelic 70s music.
It does, but it's also entirely like shot in that blue filter that Fincher loves so much, that it's just, you know, the whole thing never gets warmer than like, you know, like a teal.
It's got a nice office fluorescent vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all very calming. I'm really getting into Zodiac as a good pandemic choice.
I've been watching, it's a comfort movie I go to, but I'll go to American Splendor, just because it's like, I want to see someone that handles things terribly.
Yeah.
That's Harvey Pekar. And it's just the movie and like the music in it, all the jazz and stuff like that. And there's kind of way it trots along where it's like everyone's grumpy and ugly but it's a feel good movie. I really love it.
Yeah. Talk about ASMR, the Cleveland accent, man.
Yeah.
put a baby to sleep.
I remember the first time watching it going like, oh wow, Judah Friedlander's in this, and then seeing his version of Toby Radloff and going like, wow, Judah's going kind of big with this guy. And then I saw an actual clip of Toby Radloff. I was like, oh, if anything, Judah played it down.
Yeah,
it's a really it's a strangely subtle performance considering what a big character that guy was. And I just never got over it. It was like a 2 years in a row where I thought Paul Giamatti should have not only been nominated, but probably win Best Actor for American Splendor and then for Sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't nominated for either.
I can't believe he wasn't nominated for Sideways, because that's where I first heard about him. I thought he got some kind of nod. Maybe it was a different award.
But that's another one. I mean, Sideways definitely has some like kind of tense and weird situations in it, but it's also Just a lot of hanging out, talking about wines.
That's a good comfort movie. I mean, I think that that's one that I'm going to watch again now that you bring it up. Another one where nothing too big happens.
It's strangely comforting when Thomas Hayden Church gets hit in the face with the motorcycle.
That was also where I saw Sandra Oh for the first time too. Yeah. That's right. It's a lot of firsts for that one.
If we're and talking about comfort, Pino. If we're talking about, Giamatti comfort movies, also Safe Men, I think is a great movie that, is a comfort to watch. And it's like, it's a low stakes mob, movie. And if anyone's seen Safe Men, I think it's a fantastic film.
When did that come out?
Oh, geez. I don't know if it was like, no, it's like late 90s or early 2000s.
It looks mid 2000s. I'm looking up the details. 1999. Yeah,
Steve Zahn and Sam Rockwell.
Oh man. That's like human macaroni and cheese there.
Yeah. And there's a monologue in it by Harvey Fierstein. That's just so incredible. But he plays like, he's part of the Jewish mafia in Rhode Island, and this is real, just low stakes, small mob movie. And
there's a Zodiac tie too. It looks like Mark Ruffalo's in it.
That's right. Mark Ruffalo has a great, great.
This is like the greatest cast of all time.
It's great. It's a great movie.
Hush, please. My movie, More Milk, is. Oh, these are dogs barking. Quiet, guys. Is When Harry Met Sally, only because it's the time of year. Like I always have to watch it around this time of year.
It takes place during fall, right?
Yeah, it takes place in the fall, winter, through a course of a year, ends with New Year's Eve. So it's got all the holidays in there if you want them, minus Thanksgiving. You don't have to worry about that. There's no family in it. it's just 30-somethings being 30-something. And then I recently ran into, you ever see like really wonky apps that are probably very underpopulated that you watch that they'll suggest the one movie from the 80s or 90s that you haven't seen? So I think my app is called, maybe it's not Tubi.
Mubi? M-U-B-I?
There's T-U-B-I, but I don't think this one's it, and it's not M-U-B-I. But anyway, it recommended Sliver, which I had not seen.
Oh.
I had only heard about and always thought it was scandalous. So now I watch it, and through the eyes of an adult, it's I don't know, cool.
It's almost like a post-Sex Lies and Videotape, like sexy movie, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be, for sure. It was very suggestive, but without showing everything, because it's not,
Because it's not Basic Instinct.
I forget who wrote an article about like the death of the erotic thriller because of the easy access to pornography on.
Exactly. I'm guessing that article was written by Joel Esterhaas.
Oh, it's
while he was yelling about cigarettes.
Yeah.
I just never. Why is it called Sliver? Is there like an explanation?
I haven't gotten there yet. I only am 2/3 through and then the app crashed. But I think it's because she's being spied on within her apartment. And so it's as if you're looking through a sliver in the wall, but really it's cameras.
Okay.
They thought keyhole was too horny.
Yeah. It was too explicit, keyhole. Yeah. Anyway, so I was surprised by that, just to talk about retro films. Otherwise, if you want like classic that everybody has already seen, then it's Harry Met Sally for me.
Yeah, I think that movie is getting a lot of plays by people just to, just for the whole nostalgia of, when
the greatest dead couple of all time, Carrie Fisher and Bruno.
I know.
Oh, that's
yes.
Right.
And bring them back.
Golly. I hate that now when you have to watch movies and be like, oh, they're dead now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I start with black and white films. Yeah. I don't watch anything past 1930.
Yeah.
I don't want to be sad.
I don't want some of these people to be alive. I want all of them to be dead.
That's why I love the black and white Return of the Living Dead or Night of the Living Dead, because even the zombies are probably dead.
Oh, yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah. And so everybody.
They can only cheat death once.
Barbara's still alive. Barbara from the original Night is alive. I saw her at a horror con, a year or so ago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Who?
I can't remember her name, but she played Barbara in the original Night.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. How old is she? She must be way up there.
I think so. It was just an elderly lady in front of a banner that had the picture from the lady from Night of the Living Dead. So I'm assuming it was her and not just like a friend of hers telling stories.
Oh, my goodness. Imagine her friend has been posing as her at these conventions.
That's what,
just for the fame.
Yeah, somebody that wants some attention that's old should just say there's some old, you know, actress that was, you know, popular when she was young and go out on the signing circuit.
Yeah.
What a great con.
It'd be a good film, too. And then at the end, they're exposed by one diehard fan.
I feel like we just pitched a Sam Rockwell movie right there.
Yeah, I'm sure he's looking for projects right now. He was going to be in a revival of American Buffalo on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
I was with Lawrence Fishburne and Darren Criss.
Wow.
It's just a three.
If you do a David Mamet play, though, now, aren't you worried that David Mamet's going to show up?
and just sit there with David Mamet face staring at you the whole time?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that kind of a danger?
He's an intimidating dude.
He's a terrifying dude.
Yeah, if you know his work. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, got shut down because of the pandemic. And at first they were saying, well, we're rehearsing anyway over Zoom. We're going to be ready when this thing's over. And now I'm just like, well, they can't possibly be rehearsing that play still.
Unless they do it Mammoth in the Park.
All the people who were going to go see The Croods 2 last weekend could also go see American Buffalo.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of crossover there.
Definitely. You know, it's another animal thing. Mm-mm. But buffaloes aren't nearly as cute as sloths in the world of animation. Well, those are some great recommendations. And those movies will give people a lot of comfort and very, very strange double bills if they pick any two of those. That's what we need right now is double features because people like to just sit and not worry about what's going on. Want to play some games?
Yeah.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's play some games. We're going to start with something that I've been playing lately called So-and-So and the Something-Something. And that's a play on titles along the lines of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, mm-hmm. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. There's just been a lot of titles over the years where it's a character's name and then something about them. Something's revealed about them in the title. And I've made up those kind of titles for movies that did not have that kind of title. So I will go to you one at a time. We'll do this first bit in alphabetical order. So we'll start with Abby, mm-hmm. then we'll go to Jonah, and then Julianne. And that's alphabetical by first name as well. That usually doesn't work out that way. we'll start with Abby. I'll tell you my made-up title. And you tell me what movie you think it is. If you can't think of it or guess the right title, then it'll move to Jonah. And then Julianne, everybody will have a shot at it. And if nobody gets it, we'll just move on to the next one.
Without ever answering it.
And I'll never, never say what it was.
Okay.
People love cliffhangers in podcast games.
You got to leave them wanting more.
Yeah. So this first one, are you ready, Abby?
Let's do it.
What movie would it work if the title had been Reverend Scott and the Crazy Cruise?
It wouldn't be, but my guess is going to be Overboard, but I don't think that's quite it.
Yeah, I don't think Kurt Russell was
it. Doesn't play a reverend in that. There's no Scott. There's just ocean. That's the commonality between what you've described and the movie I picked. There's a boat in there. It's not a cruise. All right. Nah. Wait, but I have a question, even though I answered incorrectly and it's not my turn anymore. Is the movie I'm trying to guess a something-something in a some such? Or is it just, it could be a movie, like I said, like just one title.
It'll be a movie with like a regular title. That,
gotcha. Okay, cool.
I've turned into one of these.
That you've turned into it. All right. Yeah. Okay. And good luck, Julianne. Often
you will say afterward, you find out, you'll go, well, Doug's title is better. That's what they should have gone with.
Reverend Scott in the Cruise.
What do you think Reverend Scott in the Crazy Cruise is, Jonah?
I've been racking my brain. I don't know. I want to hope that there is a reverend in Titanic.
Oh.
Because I'd love to refer to the Titanic as a crazy cruise.
I don't recall any religious figures really in Titanic.
That's why it went down. That's why it happened.
Yeah, God was not there with them. Yeah, I can't think of anybody that, you know, they usually have that kind of character in a movie full of passengers like
that. Have you guys ever been on the road, and I don't even know where you'd have to drive through, maybe Nashville, but there is it's near Dollywood, and it's like an inflatable Titanic, and it's an attraction that you can see. It still looks too soon. It looks like it's Titanic Fun Park, but it's just
do they only inflate it partially?
Yeah, I mean, it does seem to come out of the ground or like be halfway sunken into the ground. It's a very strange thing to
see.
There's
a very long street that leads into Dollywood.
Yes.
That is extremely entertaining because it's all that kind of stuff. It's all tourist trappy, like miniature golf courses.
You know, putt Christmas golf. Town.
Yeah. And there's like, you know, one place has like the world's smartest pig and that kind of stuff. And it's very entertaining.
But the one that stands out is the Titanic. It just looks wrong there. Everything else is so happy and whimsical, and then it's like, and this tragedy.
Yeah. Let's have some fun with it. So no guess from Jonah.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Julianne, what do you think?
I think I know this one because I think this is the movie that my mom showed me right before I went on the Disney cruise with my new stepmother. I think you're talking about the Poseidon Adventure.
That is correct.
Wow, great job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why did you have to watch that?
I don't know.
Because it's about a sinking boat.
I don't know about the remake. Was called just Poseidon, did have Kurt Russell in it. So you were really close.
Yeah, you were very close.
I was close.
But I don't know if he's a reverend in that one. But Gene Hackman has the little collar and everything. And even at one point has a monologue where he's very angry with God because this cruise ship flipped over and they're all going to die.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
not all of them die.
It is not a good, it's not a good pre-cruise ship, movie viewing experience.
No, no, not a feel good film.
Not a good hard enough on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Even funny that they call it an adventure. Does it count as an adventure if you're just a regular passenger and you have this whole situation foist upon you?
It's more of a Poseidon harrowing ordeal.
Yeah, the Poseidon tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, it was the 70s, so hey, let's call it an adventure.
Get the kids in there to watch Shelley Winters die.
All right, so Julianne is on the board with 1 point. We'll go back to Abby with the next title.
Yes.
What movie could have been called Charles Van Doren and the Sham Show?
Ugh, I don't think I'm going to even be close. Charles Van Doren, that name, and the Sham Show? Sounds like we're talking like a 70s film, which I know very few titles. Charles, let's say Home Alone. Famous 70s film.
That's incorrect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jonah, what do you think?
I'm really bad at this game. I thought I was so excited because I was like, this is such a great idea for a game, and I can't think of anything. The Sham Show comes to mind.
I bet I know. Yeah,
it's like ahead. It feels like Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, but I don't think. But Charles Van Doren, that's that name's nowhere in there. But Sham Show sounds like that. So I don't know. I don't. Argo.
Great guess. Incorrect.
Okay.
Julianne.
I want to say Quiz Show.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
correct.
What I was going to say.
When you say Confessions, I was like, oh, Quiz Show.
Yeah, Quiz Show. Because that's a Sham Show sounds like it could have been the title of the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a better title.
It was
a more interesting.
It was supposed to be called More Like Sham Show. And they're like, it's too busy.
More Like
Sham
Show. It's
too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Charles Van Doren was the real life figure who, because he was good looking and audiences liked him, they let him win on the quiz show. You know, they let him keep coming back as the champion by feeding him answers. And that, of course, led to game shows are all very, very strictly regulated now ever since that happened.
Mm-hmmm. With Mr. Mile High, Ralph Fiennes.
Wait, why is it called that?
Oh, there was a pretty big gossip item maybe about 10, 15 years ago where he romanced a stewardess mid-flight.
I'm joining the Mile High Club.
Mm-hmm.
I've never understood that concept, how it's even possible in the size of those restrooms.
Call Ray Fiennes and ask him.
I will.
And why,
why didn't I think of that?
Why do they call it a club? Are there dues? Where do you...
Can you get kicked out? It takes so much work to get in.
All right, so Julianne's running away with this thing.
Dang it.
Sorry, guys.
Hey, has anybody seen this new series on HBO Max, The Flight Attendant? Speaking of Mile High Club?
No.
Is that the serious Kaley Cuoco?
I don't know how serious it's supposed to be. I haven't seen
really?
It yet. But it's just
yeah, she's in it.
Brand new, and I'm not. It's weird how now sometimes things will come out, and unless it trends on Twitter or something, you just don't really. You're not hearing the buzz on anything.
Is it a TV adaptation of Gwyneth Paltrow's Life on Top?
I don't think that's what that was called, but no. It's not,
no,
the view, sure, from the top. The
view from the top. Shit. No. Yeah, that's it. I read that book. Richard Iowati wrote a whole book, which is a dissertation, like him trying to do a serious dissertation on that movie. It's ridiculous. Jesus. It's very funny.
You can't even bring up
another Mark Ruffalo
yourself and get them right, Jonah.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyway, listen to my movie podcast. I'm the guy going, oh, that's that guy.
Yeah,
that's that
we guy. Know what the commentary is going to be now.
Yeah.
I'm loving this game now because it's going to be Abby and Jonah take a crack at it and then Julianne gets it.
No, this is just a warm-up round.
Yeah. All right.
I'm really tempted to Google now just to get it right, but I'm not.
Don't do it.
No, no, you can't do that.
But if you do, don't admit to having done it.
We got to get a commission in here. Yeah. Get some regulations.
I just want credit for not doing something I'm not supposed to do anyway.
Abby?
Mm-hmm?
What movie should be called Henry Hill and the Murderous Mob?
Henry or Hank Hill and the Murderous Mob. I really was hoping you were going to pick something that was Harry and the Hendersons. And this doesn't sound like that's going to fit into that. Cause I was trying to predict what you would pick. Henry Hill and the Murderous Mob. Who murders? there's a mob in Beauty and the Beast. I think that's what you're thinking of.
No.
Darn it.
Jonah, you got into this one.
I don't think I do.
Oh my God, you guys.
Hank Hill is a cartoon character, no. Right? So did they make a movie of his show?
I think my confidence is shot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, now my brain can't.
I'll stop trash talking everybody then.
You're just quick like that.
Yeah. I'm just in everybody's head, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a beta. I don't respond well to this competition.
Oh, now that I have Googled, I see it's very obvious.
When I've been... you know, when I was writing these down, I really thought this was the one that whoever goes first is just a gimme. It's
it should have been. Well, you should have picked any other character besides him. Like, I don't know, pick anybody else.
Untouchables.
You had to play your own game.
Untouchables is incorrect. Julianne, tell him the right answer.
Okay, so this is great because when Henry Hill first meets Joe Pesci, he says, "Nice to meet you, Henry." And it's in Goodfellas.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is a movie that I watch about 70 times a year, to be fair.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah, Scorsese, like, as much of an artist and genius as he has gone on record, and it shows when you watch his films, that he uses the best take no matter what goes wrong in it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if the takes are long, there's got to be something that gets messed up in him.
But he loves, he does not care about continuity. Like, shirts are buttoned and unbuttoned over all the time in his movies.
Oh, yeah. Cigarettes are a big... inhale and never exhale.
Yeah, he doesn't concern himself with that stuff. He's like, anybody that's looking at that isn't really paying attention to what I'm trying to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Julianne's just running away with this game.
It's a great game.
Do one more, or are you too embarrassed to continue?
No, one redemption. I've got to pick one. At least that's a movie I've seen, so I feel like I should have had that one. So go ahead.
Okay, this one, I just don't know what people know or what they've seen, but I feel like this is also one that might be, well, we'll see.
It's in the zeitgeist.
Okay, Abby. What movie should be called Andy Sachs and the Boss Bitch?
Oh, no. Ah, Andy Sachs and the Boss Bitch. Okay, I'm going to go abstract. You could be talking about a dog that runs the household, but Beethoven. Why am I sticking with 90s movies that nobody nobody wants to remember having seen? Andy Sachs. You know what? That character name, even if it's based on a real person, does not ring a bell. I can hear the gears turning in Julianne's head right now. But I have to make a guess. Boss bitch. Who is a boss that's a dog? Okay. That would be Clifford the Big Red Dog that is coming out in theaters very soon.
No.
Mm. Okay.
Creativity.
Thanks for
points,
giving me
though.
A shot.
Jonah?
Well, the boss bitch that I was thinking, oh, maybe it's Rocket Man, but I don't think Andy Sachs was Elton John's real name. So that took that out of my head. Because I was thinking, that was a fun way to do it. Cause Andy Sachs, and he changed his name to Elton John Rocket Man. I have nothing.
Would have been a good guess. That you makes know. Sense.
What was Elton John's real name?
Reginald Dwight.
John Elton.
He flipped it on him. Reginald.
Oh, maybe this is one Julianne doesn't know.
No, I'm sorry. I know this one. Oh. I really apologize. This is another movie you guys probably at least watch once a year because it's constantly on TV. I believe the boss bitch is Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada.
That's correct.
Of course. Yes,
I've never seen it.
I was leaning so heavily on dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably also
no, just
thinking,
a regular bitch.
You're probably also thinking Andy was a
boss
dude.
Was the clue. I like how there's a clue in every one of your, like a keyword. If you just seize in on that keyword, you can get it. Like sham show or sham boss show. Bitch.
Yeah, I think also in the case of Julianne, she just knows the names of these characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That helps
yeah,
a
what
lot
is
too.
That? That's a skill. To yeah. remember the characters in films? I don't think
I mean, I can't remember real people's
films.
Names, so that's, you know, that's what happens. Just exclusively movie characters.
Doug, yeah. Even though I got none of these right, and I think the game is stupid and it sucks, you did a really good job writing these.
I'm more like addicted to the game now, and I have to at least get one. We're not leaving this podcast until I can figure one out.
This is your Zodiac.
Yes.
All right. So I wrote one that was like intended to be like a tiebreaker between two people, whoever could get it first.
Oh, so, no.
So just so that Abby and Jonah have some satisfaction.
It's just going to dig it deeper. But
I'll
yeah.
ask Julianne to sit this one out.
She's
got all four correct.
She's going to ask Julianne to rest on her laurels.
Even though she knows it, she's going to be like, yeah, champion.
Yeah, go take a laurels nap. And,
I can take a sweep. That's fine.
All right, Abby and Jonah, mm-hmm. I'll be sad for both of you if you don't know what this is.
Mm-hmm. Just let one of us buzz in first. I don't want to go first anymore. I just want, if you know it, Jonah, just shout it out.
Okay.
Captain Quint and the Jaws of Death.
Jaws.
Well, that was going to be my guess. So.
There was a little clue in overboard. The title in that one, too.
That or Overboard. All right.
There you go.
Great job.
Great game.
Thanks, Doug.
Yay.
Well, when we come back, we're going to go to a brief message. When we come back, we're going to play a game where I'm going to predict right now that Jonah and Abby will do better.
All right.
Because it's a little less, it's a smaller, more focused game where you actually have multiple choice what to answer. And that, you know, gives you at least a fighting chance to guess correctly.
I've done better at these games before, Doug. It's not like a...
Yeah, but you're usually competing against men, and that's easy.
Good point.
We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. See, that wasn't so bad. That was pretty short. Julianne Smolinski won the first game. She won it.
Anne Hathaway completist, Julianne Smolinski.
You get to go first. Have you seen The Witches?
Not the new one. I've seen the old one.
Yeah,
old
I haven't
one,
seen
the old this, one's pretty terrifying.
New one looks good.
I haven't seen the new one, but I've heard mixed things.
And Stanley Tucci's back in that one too.
The Tucci.
It's a little Andy Sachs and the Boss Bitch reunion.
Nice.
Rocket Man.
That would be Reginald Dwight and the.
And the troubadours?
Shiny pants.
And the, ooh, yeah, and the big glasses. Yeah.
Reginald Dwight and the Doug Weston's troubadour.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So we're going to play one more game today. And that'll determine our winner. That first thing was just a warm up. But Julianne does get to go first in this next one. So
all right.
It's going to be rough. This game is called Select a Santa. I will, like I said, I'm going to start with Julianne.
You paused like there was supposed to be a jingle of some sort.
Yeah.
I know, right?
You got to put a sound effect in there.
You really do. Producer Ryan, be sure to put some like jingling bells right there.
Yeah, and then put this over that. Ho, 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 pick me. All right, that should be good.
Just leave that where it is. I'll name a movie and go to you one at a time, starting with Julianne, and she gets to guess between three options. You have to tell me which of these people is in this movie, and it's all people who have famously played Santa. So gotcha. You have to choose between Tim Allen, Ed Asner, or Billy Bob Thornton.
Gotcha.
So it's either Allen, Asner, or Thornton, who were, of course, Santa and Santa Claus, Elf, and Bad Santa 1 and 2. If Julianne misses, then it goes to Jonah. And if Jonah misses, then Abby, all you got to do is just scoop up that gimme point.
Can't wait.
It'll be narrowed down. It'll be narrowed down nicely.
Great.
All right, is everybody ready to go, go, go?
Pick me.
Oh. Yes.
Julianne.
Yeah.
Which one of those people is in something called Academy Boys with a Z?
Academy Boys.
Wow, with a Z.
Allen, Asner, or Thornton?
I don't know this movie at all. I don't think it's Asner, unless it's like a movie about a school or something. Oh God, this is tough. All right, I'm just going to guess Thornton.
That's incorrect.
I figured.
Finally, you don't.
Finally, my reign of terror is over.
Yeah. Abby, what do you think between that leaves Allen or Asner?
I thought I got to scoop up the gimme points after Jonah guesses.
No. He's right.
Yeah, I said the order wrong earlier, but it'll still come back to you in another way.
Sure. Let's go. I just don't see Tim Allen being in movies pre-Home Improvement. So let me say Ed Asner was in Academy Boys.
I don't understand your logic, but that is the correct answer.
Meaning, I thought his first film was like, I don't even remember the name of it. The Jumanji kid. Remember when he's the dad of a kid from a jungle to jungle. Yeah, mm. I thought his career was all Jungle to Jungle, Santa Claus, like the heyday after Home
Improvement. Santa Claus was definitely the first, that and Toy Story came on the heels of Home Improvement. But then after that, he's been in a lot of movies.
Wild Hogs.
A shocking number of movies.
Okay.
In this case, it was Ed Asner, and I'm sure that he does play like the principal of the academy or something. Mm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Abby's on the board with 1 point. Jonah, you get to go first.
Feels good.
Jonah, which one of those actors was in a movie called Love and Action in Chicago?
I'm going to say Billy Bob Thornton.
That's incorrect.
Wow.
Back to you, Julianne.
Oh, God. Okay. It's not Billy Bob Thornton. I feel like the Abby logic. I feel like that if there's a Tim Allen movie, you know about it. I'm going to go with Asner.
That is correct.
Ooh.
Damn it.
If it ain't Jungle to Jungle, we're not biting.
I'll be so happy if Jonah gets no points today.
Well, wow. I mean, it helps the case for the podcast because I don't know anything.
Just a shutout.
I'm going to ask questions.
It's a learning podcast.
Yeah.
Like anyone sitting around going, I'm not listening to his podcast. He doesn't know anything about the film of Tim Allen.
That's this right. guy hasn't seen Academy Boys with a Z? Yeah.
I don't know. Is he only going to bring up the one movie he knows, Jaws?
Okay, harsh back. Critics, but they're still tuning in.
We're back to Abby with the next one.
Uh-huh.
This is a film called Tropical Snow.
Okay. Just based on SAT algorithms, I'm going to say Thornton because he's been a no for the first two.
That's always a smart way to play, but that is incorrect.
It's never Thornton.
What do you think? Who's next? Jonah?
Tropical Snow,
Ed Asner.
the other rule of this game. It's yeah. always Asner.
That's incorrect.
Fucking A, come on.
Oh, no. Oh, not the gimme point.
Take it.
Julianne, if you can remember the other two answers, that's all you need.
Tim Allen?
That is correct.
Yes. No. That didn't feel good.
Tim Allen played the role of baggage handler.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Really?
The classic baggage handler. You know, a lot of kids dress up like baggage handler on Halloween this year.
Tropical Snow spelled without a W.
Yeah, I think that one was a.
No, that's a shack.
I think that's something he did when he had Home Improvement hadn't even happened yet. He was just a popular stand-up
cocaine dealer.
Yeah, so that's it's a movie about the drug trade in the Caribbean.
Give me some of that.
It's not about it is about cocaine. Oh my gosh, could that have been what got him into it all?
So Julianne has a point and Abby has a point and Abby gets to go first on this next one.
Great.
Sorry. Which one of those dudes is in a movie called Three Geezers? And geezers has right after it is an exclamation point. Always exciting in a title.
Is that a sequel to Academy Boys?
Three geezers. You knew them from Academy Boys. Just because, well, you know, I don't have to explain the logic, but I guess I'll try. Tim Allen was in Wild Hogs, which I call Mild Hogs.
Whoa. Holy
so
shit.
That's already, take that. So that's already an old gentleman buddy comedy. Ed Asner, I feel like, likes to be the lone older guy in a film. I'm sure he's done an old man buddy comedy, but so I'm going to go with Thornton, even though he was like bad grandpa. So the old men he plays are not cute. I think Geezers belongs to Thornton. Oh, did I lose you guys? I don't hear anybody.
I don't hear anybody either.
I hear you guys. I just don't hear Doug.
What happened? There you are, Doug.
There you are.
There's Doug. I thought you were just giving like a dramatic pause.
I did too.
No, I think what happened was I just said it so dramatically that it was too quiet to be for the microphone to pick it up.
Oh. But that take it back to one.
Take it back to one, Jonah. That is incorrect.
Oh, darn. All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you.
You, sir, may I have another?
No, I've watched way too many reality competitions where you're just honored to be there. So you're like,
it's like you just give it. Thank you, chef.
Yeah, exactly. In British Baking Show, when they're like, this was stodgy. Thank you. Right.
Thank you.
Okay, pack your knives, Abby, but don't leave. Jonah, what do you think it is?
Ed Asner.
That's incorrect.
Fucking it. What are you fucking talking about?
Tim Allen.
Is Tim like, Tim is not one of the geezers, is he?
I don't think so. No, I think it's early enough in his career that he just went, probably is the guy that walks by going, what's with those three geezers over there?
Oh, he had the titular line. You knew he was up. He was going to use a rocket of fame.
You also failed to tell us that three geezers is just the number three. I just looked it up. They don't even spell
mean?
It out.
What else could it be besides the number three?
I mean, I would think they would spell it out THREE, but they didn't. They made it like edgy with the number three geezers.
Yeah. Well, because it's from the makers of Academy Boys. Your three favorite headmasters are back with a new adventure all of their own.
So we should have Julianne. You need to officially answer the question to get the point.
Yeah, to be fair, it's really hard to keep remembering the words Tim Allen, but.
I think Doug really like buried the lead when he just kind of says he didn't even bury it. He plopped it in front of us and said like, yeah, Tim Allen's been in an insane, a shocking number of movies.
Yeah, that should have been our giveaway.
Yeah.
And there
if
he wasn't
heard
right
of it, then he might be in it.
Yeah.
All right. So we're back to Abby again.
All right.
Which one of these dudes was in a movie called Santa Stole Our Dog, A Merry Doggone Christmas?
Santa Stole Our Dog, A Merry Doggone Christmas. It has dog on it. I'm going to say Asner. I mean, how could he say no to a script like that?
I don't think he can. I think he has to say yes to everything where he's supposed to play Santa, because that is correct.
Yay!
He's just got a good heart.
Yeah. Now let's go to Jonah.
Hi.
Which one of those dudes was in a movie called Thomas Kincaid's Christmas Cottage?
Fuck you, Doug. Thomas Kincaid's Christmas Cottage.
Sounds like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah. This can't be. There's no, it's got to be Ed Asner. It's got to be.
How much would you wager?
All my points. I'll give all my points up for this one.
Wait a second.
Well, it turns out you only have 1 point, and that's because, yes, it is Ed Asner.
All right, great
well
job.
Done.
Oh, God. I'm so glad this isn't live or on video.
All right, you're on the board, Jonah, so anything can happen now. But Julianne gets to go first, and she's got most of the points. In this next round, which one of those dudes is in Puss in Boots?
Puss in Boots? Is this the cat cartoon?
Antonio Banderas? Vehicle?
Yeah, it's the Antonio Banderas vehicle.
The spinoff.
Oh, God.
The spinoff of the Shrek films.
You know what? It's so tempting to say Ed Asner for all of these because it seems like he's, I don't know, maybe he's the most versatile. But I feel
have
like
a Pixar link.
I feel like this one is Billy Bob. So that's going to be my answer.
That's your answer, Billy Bob Thornton?
Yeah.
Ooh, do we see Billy Bob entering the chat? I'm excited if it is.
You figured it out, Julianne. That is correct.
Yeah.
Only Julianne could resurrect Billy Bob's name into this game.
Nicely done.
Thanks.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really good. Okay, so Abby gets to go first in this next one.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm familiar with their films now.
Which one of those fellas is in a movie called JFK?
Okay, this I feel like is a no-brainer because no one looks better in horn-rimmed glasses than Billy Bob Thornton.
That's your answer?
It is, even though I should have seen that movie by now, but I've only seen clips of it through all the years that it's existed. I know Kevin Costner's in there, and he's kind of a contemporary of Billy Bob.
Yeah, it's a long-ass movie, so you should probably...
Oh, shoot, now I think Asner could have been in it, too, but definitely not Tim Allen. Anyway, Thornton is my answer. Go ahead.
That is incorrect.
Darn.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Jonah, now that your classmate did all the math for you...
What if I fuck up and say Tim Allen? I'm saying Ed Asner, but...
I really want you to say Tim Allen.
I know. I can't help but be terribly wrong every time. Ed Asner.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah. Asner in a short sleeve button down. I could picture that in JFK. Tie.
Yeah.
Yeah. At a desk with wood paneling on the walls. Absolutely, Ed Asner. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. We're going to go back to Julianne.
I bet you'll find out Billy Bob auditioned for that film and didn't get it.
Ooh.
This is an animated film that I, before I looked all this stuff up, I was not familiar with, called Happily Ever After.
I think this is another Anne Hathaway movie about gnomes. I have kids.
Okay,
but maybe I'm thinking of a different movie too. I'm gonna say Asner.
I can't get anything past you today. That is correct.
Holy shit. Yep.
Where there's gnomes, there's Asner. Great job.
Asner,
yeah,
as Scrowl the owl.
Okay, I'm
assuming the pronunciation on Scrowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the role he was born to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real first draft on that name there.
Yeah. Absolutely. But
I know, something like Scrawl the Owl. We'll figure it out later.
Congratulations to Julianne Smolinski. First time on the show and just won both of the games. Well,
I learned
done.
A lot.
Thank
I learned
you.
A lot.
And we learned as we went. One last little note. Which one of those three guys played my uncle on an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Asner.
I hope it was Asner.
Yes,
yay!
Yeah. We don't have any scenes together, unfortunately, but I did get to see him leaving the set one day.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But I'm still very proud to be his nephew. And I'm very proud of Julianne for winning today. So you get to go first. What would you like to plug? Do you have anything you'd like people to be aware of or look out for?
I have a newsletter that's you can check out. It comes out very infrequently, even though, you know, we're all not doing anything right now. It's called The Minimizer. You can check it out on Substack.
Neat.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Thanks.
I love that. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun, and not just because I won.
I won. That's because I won.
With us.
Things are more fun when you're good at it, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
I hope Abby Crutchfield, how was your first time? How was it for you?
Oh, it was a joy. It was a joy. I was getting sweaty when I thought, oh, these are going to be all films I've never heard of before. But then it started to get fun when I hadn't heard of it. So I had a great time. And I think it was very creative and fun.
I smell a rebooking. What would you like to plug, Abby?
I'm excited about a project that's going to be announced soon, but I'm technically not supposed to talk about it yet. So I'll be, when we can promote this episode on social, maybe that'll coincide with the time of that. So I do have something coming up that's very exciting that you can see on TV. And look for me then.
Oh, man, I should have gone with that.
Just a nebulous, ambiguous thing that could just get canned.
An exciting thing that I can't talk about yet.
I can't tell you about it, you guys, but it's really exciting.
I mean, cool. I would love to, but I'm just afraid if I happen to say it and this airs at the wrong time, that the whole thing will just disappear. So I don't know. I want to be professional.
People will hear this starting this very evening. It comes out right away.
Oh, good. Cool. Okay. Well, then great. So, then no, that's too soon to tell.
But don't mention it yet.
Otherwise, just follow me on Twitter at Curly Comedy and you'll hear about it there, or, and you'll see my jokes, or watch any of the old Zoom comedy shows I've been doing.
I love it. I recommend all three of you for follows on Twitter. Jonah Ray, is your name on Twitter just Jonah Ray?
Yeah, I'm not on there really though. I got off like earlier this year.
You did. Good for you, Jonah.
Wow.
I've been enjoying your tweets so much.
Yeah, exactly. I just locked myself out for my own sanity.
And I admire that, but I'll take over the mantle, because my favorite thing you would do is you'd just retweet some political a-hole and then all you'd write is dork.
Yeah. Well, now you can find me in the comment sections of New York Times's Instagram doing that.
Oh, okay. And the new show, the new podcast from the group called Misfit Toys is Jonah Ray. Make me sit. Let's sit down and enjoy.
I heard you on Pardo's show. Like, and none of you could fucking remember it. Let me watch your movie with you. It's a commentary track podcast thing that's available on all your the platforms. And then also both seasons of Mystery Science Theater 3000 that I did are still available on Netflix. And then there's also a movie I did with Felicia Day and Malcolm Barrett that's on Hulu called Pooka Lives. It's a fun horror comedy.
Wow. Very cool. Yeah,
aren't you also, don't you get your face murdered in a Hatchet movie?
Yeah, spoiler, I get murdered in the beginning of the last Hatchet movie. It's called Victor Crowley, which I think is on, I think it's on Stars or Shudder or something like that.
Yeah, right, so now. You only have to watch a few minutes if you just want to watch Jonah get killed.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably most people listening.
I got my big Rush Ticks show coming up, as everybody knows about already, on Hot Boxing Day, December 26th. That's rushticks.com to get tickets for that. Thank you once again to all my guests, Abby Crutchfield, Jonah Ray, Julianne Smolinski. It's been a delight. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. And I'm sorry.
As always. As always, for it is plain as anyone can see, we're simply meant to be.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves.